The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive. And make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans. And muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamu alaikum. You are welcome to another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. As usual, we choose an interesting topic to speak about. For today, we have forgiving and, of course, forgetting in the view of Islam.
يا إلهي فاعف عني وادني
But first, we look at the calendar. On 26th of the month of Shaban, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 17th of Isfand, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 7th of March, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Al Imran, verse 133, and the important point of it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wasari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum wa jannah. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ.
And hasten to forgiveness from your Lord, and a garden as wide as the heavens and earth, prepared for the righteous.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse, the effort and endeavor of good doers is likened to a spiritual race, the goal of which is forgiveness of Allah and the eternal blessings in heaven. Since attaining any spiritual rank is not possible without being purified from sins by His forgiveness, the goal of this spiritual race firstly is forgiveness and secondly is heaven. Then at the end of the verse, it clearly declares that His heaven with its wonderful splendor has already been prepared for the pious ones.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب.
We're speaking about forgiving and forgetting. Prophet of Islam Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, do not harbor or grudge against one another, nor jealousy, nor enmity, and do not show your backs to another and becomes as fellow brothers and slaves of Allah. It is not lawful for a Muslim to avoid speaking with his brother beyond 3 days. As mentioned in the hadith on the forgiveness, we see this essential virtue in the sublime character of the blessed Prophet Muhammad. We have heard many prophetic traditions in regards to his ultimate forgiveness and how that attribute eventually results in a rewarding spiritual outcome. Even when non-Muslims disrespect him, he showed no grudge. Instead, he was patient and always kind to them, which led all of those he affected to become virtuous Muslims in the world. Subhanallah. Indeed, forgiveness is a virtue for the brave and patient, and we should strive toward becoming forgiving Muslims, although it could be truly difficult sometimes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. This is Ali, and we are going to talk about the essence and importance of forgiveness. So what is the best possession and wealth with regard to our discussion that is forgiveness? Humans have two attitudes towards money and monetary issues and fall into two categories. The first group consists of those who earn wealth and keep it for themselves. This attitude spells doom for humanity. The Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever devotes himself to hoarding wealth and prefers it over everything else will be destroyed. The second group consists of people who put money into circulation and not cause it to stagnate. They see their wealth as flowing water. Putting money into circulation can be of two types. Sometimes money circulates, but not with forbearance, like all cases related to buying related to buying and selling. What happens in the market is that money circulates, but no one shows forbearance towards money or goods. The second type occurs when money circulates, but nothing is received in return. This situation only refers to one quality, that is generosity. A generous person performs several good deeds. First, they work hard and use their strength to engage in productive activities. Second, their effort leads to earning income. Moreover, they do not prevent money from circulating. Rather, they earn with one hand and give with the other hand. The next form is that the money they donate is without expectation of return, not receiving anything in exchange. In other words, generosity means not obstructing the flow of money, not causing it to stagnate, not hoarding it, and allowing money to come from one direction and go to another direction with forbearance.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
How to forgive someone. One way can be making dua for you and others. The experience of forgiveness in Islam is supposed to be wholesome, selfless, and a liberating journey. If someone has hurt you so badly, no words could describe the pain you're going through, then it is best to make dua for yourself and for those who have hurt you. Before you rush into making dua to pour your heart out to Allah, please do not make dua against the person who has hurt you. Instead, work on beautifying your character so that Allah protects you from all evil desires and emotions that can serve a relationship. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from evil character, evil actions, and evil desires. Perform ablution and stand up in prayer and ask from Allah the Almighty to grant you the strength and mercy to forgive others. Rush to forgive. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, his pure progeny, said, "The person in whose heart there is rancor against his Muslim brother will not be pardoned. The reason forgiving is so difficult is that it hurts. It is challenging to feel compelled to draw closer to someone who has hurt you, especially by forgiving. Forgiving in Islam doesn't mean that we are not allowed to feel or acknowledge that hurt, and it entails that we see a great purpose and the bigger picture. Learning to adopt a forgiving nature will only help us. It does not mean we're allowing ourselves to be taken advantage of, since the decision is with complete awareness and intent to please Allah. It means we can see a greater value in learning to forgive and let go them to in holding."
Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers, who caused so much pain to the family for so many years. And finally, when the family is reunited, they apologize for everything that they did. They apologize. Now, istighfar to Allah is different from asking another human being to forgive. When Allah forgives, and if Allah accepts your tawbah, all your past is removed. Everything is gone. But if you've been hurting me for 10 years, and then you came and said sorry, and even if I cried and I forgave you, does that mean I forgot those 10 years? No. Is the memory sometimes come back and hurt me again? Sure. Is it going to recur? And you say, no, I thought you forgave me. No, it doesn't work that way. Because human beings are not capable of forgiving other human beings in the same way that Allah can forgive. The forgiveness of human beings is something else, and the forgiveness of Allah is something else. And sometimes human beings aren't even able to forgive. As a matter of fact, their father, Yaqub, told them, "Sawfa astaghfiru lakum Rabbi." I can't even ask Allah to pray. I'm not even going to pray for you right now. I will though. But not right now. Right now I'm still in a very bad mood. So in other words, he couldn't get himself to make immediate istighfar for them. For his own sons. You find the case of Muhammadur Rasulullah, rahmatan lil alameen, a mercy, loving mercy for all of humanity, all people. His own uncle, when he was killed in battle, and Hind did what heinous crime she did, she chewed off of his corpse. Later on, Hind became Muslim. But the Prophet couldn't face her. He couldn't see her. Because what she's done is left too much of a scar. There's a ghil there, there's a feeling there that you can't just get rid of. So this happens. And the reason I wanted to bring this to your attention is sometimes these feelings are like that nail that got drilled into the armor. Or you feel like you have to hold on to that grudge or that feeling or that protectiveness. You want to keep a distance from a person like that because you feel that if you let your guard down, that you'll get attacked again. That you'll be hurt again. So it becomes sort of a self-defense mechanism for you. And even though, when we don't understand these things, we come to people that have suffered years of abuse or that have been wronged in the most terrible of ways, and we just tell them, just forgive, it's okay. Well, you don't know what the depth of the problem is. And, we can encourage each other to forgive, but actually only Allah Azza wa Jalla knows who is capable and who is not capable.
Forgiving and forgetting, we should know more and more, and of course practicing them. So inshallah, we follow this interesting and necessary topic on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. So follow us on parstoday.ir, the tab Call of Islam. The archive of all the programs are there. Please find today's special. Thank you very much and have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyun Imami, Lafata illa Ali, Aliyun Imami, Aliyun Imami, Aliyun Imami. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Salam, and here we present you a statement from the Lord of the Age, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, who despite being in the state of occultation, keeps his wary eyes on the followers of the school of the Prophet's infallible Ahlul Bayt. We are neither negligent of caring for you, nor forgetful of you, and if it were not for that, hardship would have befallen you, and the enemies would have massacred you. So fear God and support us.
Pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. We've been discussing about the qualities of Shia. What is Shia? What is a true Muslim, basically? And Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam explains to us, if you call yourself, if you think you are Shia, then you have to have some certain qualities. Then you can call yourself as a Shia. So the very first quality Imam discussed in this hadith, he's saying, Shi'atuna ahlul wara'. Our Shia, our followers, are people of wara', people of wara', in a sense you can say people of taqwa. Taqwa meaning is the one who always remind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who always live with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and always care about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Usually people translate taqwa as a fear of God. I don't necessarily translate it as a fear of God, but this fear is out of love, because I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want to do anything which is going to cause me being away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a type of fear, but this is not the fear of fear as we think about the fear. This fear is out of love. This is the meaning of taqwa. So taqwa is a beginning of wara', and wara' is a further moving ahead, means when you prevent. Wara is goes to your actions, basically. When you do not want to do anything which is haram or makruh, well, makruh is not that thing, main thing, but the taqwa and wara means when I totally control myself from doing anything haram, mainly kabair, the great sins, mainly the great sins, and we do not insist on smaller sins, which we consider like a small sin. This is not a big deal. Let's do it. No, there's nothing like that. We have to be very careful. So the hadith is going to today. We are going to discuss here. There's a hadith, a Qudsi from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, where he says, "Yabna Adam." The very small hadith, but full of meaning. "Yabna Adam, tawarra ta'rifuni." A goal of Muslim, a goal of a Shia is, I have to have ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have to have ma'rifat of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt. Ma'rifat means when you know one deeply. If I know my God's name, this Allah, and he is a book,
Quran. He has sent a couple of prophets. This is not the ma'rifat. Ma'rifat means when you know totally taste of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He wants from you, what type of people He loves, what type of people He hates, you know. So this is the true knowledge of one. That is called ma'rifat, when we know someone deeply, truly, intensely. So, Yabna Adam, tawarra ta'arifuni. So the goal is ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says to Prophet Muhammad, or through Prophet Muhammad to us, O son of Adam, if you want to have my ma'rifah, if you want to know me and who I am and what I want from you and what is the way coming to me and what is the path of love coming to me, so adopt piety. Tawarra means adopt piety. Put on yourself this burden. Put on yourself this boundary and stay in the boundary. Do not cross the boundary. Do not go beyond the boundaries. When I say don't do this thing, which is haram, then prevent yourself from doing that. This is tawarra. If you keep doing this, then you can know me. Ta'arifuni in the result of tawarra. When you burden yourself with wara, control yourself, then you can know me. So if you want to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to have ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to understand Quran and Prophet, that means you have to prevent yourself from committing sin. If you do wara, then you will know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Ammar in the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal muzammil qum al-layla illa qalila. نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected listeners from all over the world, welcome to IRIB English Radio. Thank you so much for joining us on Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy to have brothers Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Fawad Haider, and Hassan Nasrullah with me here today in the studio. I really welcome them all. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Wa alaikum assalam.
And Fawad, how are you?
Fine, sir.
Hassan, how are
fine,
you?
Fine, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah,
Hussein?
Sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we'll be practicing Ayah 35 of Surah Al-A'raf today on page 154. Dear listeners, Muslim brothers and sisters all over the world listening to IRIB English Radio right now, grab your Quran. Sit in the direction of Qibla with wudu. Inshallah, open the Quran, page 154, Surah Al-A'raf. What ayah, Hassan?
35.
Let's listen to the recitation once.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya Bani Adam, ما يأتينكم رسل منكم يقصون عليكم آياتي فمن اتقى وأصلح فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون.
Good. I really enjoyed it. Did you?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I hope our brothers and sisters have enjoyed. Inshallah, we'll practice this ayah, how to recite beautifully. We'll try to recite the same as the reciter. We'll do our best, inshallah, by learning the tajweed rules and applying them in the ayah. So, let me just read it once, and one of our brothers here will recite. All right, guys? One of you will recite it.
Yes.
Get ready.
Yes.
So, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. يا بني آدم إما يأتينكم رسل منكم يقصون عليكم آياتي فمن اتقى وأصلح فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Very easy and simple. Who's ready to read it?
Yes.
Hussein.
I just read it. Who's ready to recite it?
Hussein.
Ali Nazir? Hussein?
Hussein.
Mm, yes.
Okay, let's vote. Hassan, Ali Nazir or Hussein?
Hassan.
Ali Nazir?
Yes.
Fawad, Ali Nazir or Hussein?
Hussein.
Hussein? So we got two votes then. Let's see who vote for each
and
other.
And Hassan.
Okay, Hussein. Do you yourself want to recite it or you vote for Ali Nazir?
Hassan,
Ali Nazir. What do you do, Ali Nazir?
Hassan.
I will vote for what?
You go for what? All right, for what? Hussein, Ali Nazir got more votes. No, Ali Nazir got more votes. Yeah, Ali
Nazir. You should be thankful for my vote.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا بني آدم إما يأتينكم رسل منكم يقصون عليكم آياتي فمن اتقى وأصلح فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون.
أحسنتم. ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. Allah talks to us, O children of Adam, if there come to you apostles from among yourselves, يَقُصُّونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِي, recounting to you my signs. يَقُصُّون comes from the word قِصَّة. Have you heard? قِصَّة, story.
Story.
But also it means story, also it means to explain, to say, to remind us, to explain. Okay? يَقُصُّونَ عَلَيْكُمْ what? Recounting to you my signs.
Yes.
فَمَنِ اتَّقَى وَأَصْلَحْ. Then those who are God-weary and righteous people, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, they will have no fear. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, and nor will they grieve, because they have believed in Allah Almighty and they have been good people. Alright? They will certainly enter
Paradise.
There is no grief. Alright?
Yes.
Alright? In the next ayah that inshallah we'll talk about it, Allah says, but those who deny our signs and are disdainful of them, they shall be the inmates of fire and they shall remain in it forever. Why? Because they have wronged themselves. Okay? It's not Allah Almighty who wrongs them. It's them who wronged themselves.
Yes.
Fawad. Ya bani Adam. There is a mad sign. Do you see on the top of
yes?
Ya?
Yes.
All right. Tell us about that. Is it a must to extend the sound or no? I'm allowed to ignore it.
No, it's not a must.
All right. What's the reason?
Because Hamza and the mad letter are not in the same word or one word.
Okay, Hamza. I know that's a Hamza Adam. Okay. What's the mad letter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have any other mad letters as well?
Yes.
What are they?
No.
Alif.
Yes.
Alif.
And oh, yes. Wow.
And wow. So three mad letters we have, Hassan. What are they?
Alif.
Alif.
Wow.
Wow and?
Yeah,
these three letters are called mad letters.
Yes.
They are used to stretch, usually. If they accept harakat, if they accept fatha, kasra, dhamma, they should be pronounced a, e, u, wa, wi, wu, ya, yi, you. But if they don't have any of them, it means they are used to stretch the sound. So, yi, ya, bani. Look at ya, it doesn't have fatha, kasra, dhamma. You don't read it ya, ba, ni, yi, ya, bani, ya, or ya, bani,
you.
You read it ya, bani. So, it is used to extend the sound of e. Kasra, yes. Bani, the ni sound.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري أحضنه أرضا.
Let's recite the Quran.
So that is called mad letter. If, Fawad says. What do you say, Fawad?
If the mad letter and Hamza are in the same word,
right,
you extend the mad.
It is a must.
Yeah, it is a must.
It is a must. So he says, if the mad letter and the Hamza, which is after the mad letter, if they are part of one word, you gotta extend it. You have to.
Yes.
In case they are in two different words. Ya bani, bani is another word. Adam is another word.
What
two
if
words.
They're in a compound word?
You have to find it out, okay? Ya bani Adam is a compound word. Bani Adam.
Oh, yes.
Like, ya ayyuha alladhina, we have compound word, okay? There is what we said. It's
yeah,
not watching.
Ayyu and ya.
Yeah.
Like picnic.
All right, ya bani Adam. Here you don't have to extend. It's not
it's
a must.
Yes.
Adam imma. What's that? Is there any point about the word imma?
Yes.
Word by word we should go.
Yes.
So what is it?
The pronunciation of Hamza.
All right.
It's very important.
Good job.
Yes. And meem shadda.
All right.
You should pronounce a nasal sound.
With a nasal sound?
Or two counts.
Extended for two counts. Yes. How do you do it?
Im.
Good job. Ya'tiyannakum. Nun. Nun mushadda. The same as meem.
Yes.
Rusulun minkum. Rusulun minkum it was. But you read it?
Rusulum
minkum. What is it?
Idgham.
The rule idgham. Check out the tajweed books in case you don't know. Minkum.
Ikhfa.
Check out the tajweed books in case you don't know. Because we have explained everything.
Yes.
So, rusulum minkum. Yaqussuna alaykum ayati. Hassan, is it okay if I stop here?
No.
I just stopped.
No.
Why?
Because that letter la on the top of ayat.
The word la, you mean?
Yes, the word la.
It's a tiny la on the top. Good.
It says that you are not allowed to stop.
You're not allowed to stop. Go on. Just continue. Don't stop here. It's a taxi station. It's not a bus station.
Yes.
You want to park it here? Just move on. Allah Almighty says, if there come to you apostles from among yourselves. Two important points I want to say from this ayah, and then we'll continue the tajweed rules. One, Allah Almighty sends prophets towards human beings for a mission.
Yes.
And what's that mission?
To guide us.
To guide us. All right. Second point. Not only guiding us, but also helping us understand the rules, the laws in this world.
Yes.
Related to our life. What things we should do, what things we
shouldn't
do. Why? Because this life is not the eternal life. So we are preparing for our final life.
This is a playground. The other.
This is not a playground. This is a mazra, a farmland for akhirah.
Imam Sadiq said that. I don't know.
Ad-dunya mazra'atul. The Prophet says that it's kind of a farmland for you, okay, for the akhirah of you. So whatever you crop, whatever you plant, you will pick it. Okay, so try your best to plant good trees, fruitful trees, not like waste or destroyed ones, okay? Now, that's the points. And also, the prophets come, Allah Almighty sends them to inform us of the day of
judgment.
That there is going to be a day of judgment. That's it. Second point, Allah Almighty chooses prophets from among ourselves to be acceptable.
From our race.
From our race. Not only our race, humanity it means here, okay?
Yes.
It says from human beings. So there were people in early Islam, okay? The mushriks, okay? Those who were denying, they were saying that he is a person like us, we don't believe him. Come on, if Allah wants to send us prophet, he has to be angel. He has to send us angels. Then Allah Almighty answers in the other part of the Quran, answers that if we had sent them angels, they would have asked us, oh, we don't want angels because angels don't understand us. He has to pick one of us. Alright?
Yes.
So that's why Allah Almighty chooses human beings, because they understand us. Because they are humans as well. So human understands the needs of human beings.
Yes.
You know better what you need, okay? A human being knows better what a human being needs.
Yes.
Other animals, for example, or the angels, they don't understand what I need for my perfection, for my guidance. All right?
Yeah.
There should be no excuse. So Allah Almighty sends human beings. That's it. Refer to the Tafsir books in case you want to learn more about it. Okay. فَمَنِ اتَّقَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْسَنُونَ. That's all. Very easy ayah. There is no important tajweed points. There were. We mentioned them. Now I will recite them. I will recite this ayah once. Make sure you listen and repeat after me. Hassan, ready?
Yes.
Hussein, ready?
Yes.
Fawad, ready?
Yes.
And Ali Nasir?
Yes.
So, brothers and sisters, are you ready? Yes, we are ready. Let's move on. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
يا بني آدم إما يأتينكم رسل منكم يقصون عليكم آياتي فمن اتقى وأصلح.
يا بني آدم إما يأتينكم رسل منكم يقصون عليكم آياتي
فمن اتقى وأصلح فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون.
فمن اتقى وأصلح فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. Allah bless you, inshallah. That's it from us for today, dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Stay with us. Thank you so much for being with us today. We look forward to seeing you in the next coming sessions, inshallah. Thank you so much, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, for being with us in this session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-Tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran.
a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International School.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan.
Mawlavi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in The Teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the religious and scholarly lives of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries, personalities, ulama and scholars during the history of Islam. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, two Islamic scholars from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Shaykh Fadai. Shaykh Rouhani, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Shaykh Fadai, Assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about one of the Fuqaha of the 13th century Hijra, one of the most outstanding students of Muhammad Hassan al-Najafi and Sheikh al-Ansari, Mirza Habibullah Rashdi. He was famous for nurturing so many outstanding students of the houses of Najaf and Iraq. Sheikh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. Give us some details about the early life of Mirza Habibullah Rashdi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. About Mirza Habibullah Rashdi's biography, what we can mention here is that his father was Mirza Muhammad Ali Khan, son of Jahangir Khan Qochani Gilani, one of the most famous Shia scholars in his time. So his ancestors were originally from Qochan, who were forced to move to Gilan in early 7th, let's say, century. And he was born in 1234, and of course in a village of in one of the villages of Gilan, is which is a province in northern part of nowadays Iran.
Yes.
And he passed away in Jumad al-Thani in 1312, and of course then in Najaf al-Ashraf, and was buried in one of the rooms around the country yard of the holy shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam.
That's right. Sheikh Fadai, now the major question is that so many of the outstanding scholars of Islam, especially the Shiite ulama and fuqaha, left their hometown in order to migrate to another country, Iraq, on that time, especially the cities of Najaf, Samarra, and Karbala, in order to attend the courses of outstanding scholars over there. It seems to be a very hard travel and difficult travel, especially on that time, without facilities. What motivations do you think they had to do so?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We can say that the main difference between religious knowledge and non-religious knowledge is that in religious knowledge, the scholar feel a very deep responsibility.
Yes.
But usually in non-religious knowledge, people and the scientists think about themselves more than the others. Of course, they benefit other people as well. but the main focus is on themselves in order to improve, in order to gain some wealth, to have a good life, and beside that, to help some people as well. But when people enter the sphere of religious knowledge, they think about other people more than themselves.
Yes.
When you feel this deep responsibility, we can say that you pass from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can tolerate every difficulties.
Yes.
Our scholars were like that.
Mm-hmm.
When they felt this responsibility that we as the scholars of religion have to teach this religion,
yes,
and preach this religion, so we have to tolerate a lot of difficulties. One of the difficulties was that migration. As you mentioned, this migration was not easy. At that time, for example, moving from Rasht, or Gilan, as we call
yes.
it, the province, Iranian province,
yes.
to other country like Iraq,
yes.
By, I don't know, horse and camels.
Yes.
And even
on feet, the, even
feet, sometimes
right.
on okay. feet,
yes.
usually with their families,
okay.
with their wives, with their children,
yes.
and among a lot of diseases,
wow.
among a lot of thieves
yes.
in the ways.
Yes.
You know, they had to pay a lot. They had to spend a lot of time. Maybe
yes.
these migration spent for 6 months or 1 year
yes.
to go to
they were on
city.
The way to go to Najaf
yes.
or Karbala. That's
but,
right.
you know,
okay.
now we just read in the books that they migrated from this country to that country. That's
okay.
it.
Okay.
But it is not like that.
Yes.
They. I want to say that they felt the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, they did that. For example, if you check the teachers and the students
yes.
of these great scholars, Mirza Habibullah Rashti,
yes.
you can see that this chain of scholars, these are the famous ones that even now in our Hoza we are benefiting from them, we are using from their knowledge.
Yes.
What is the common point?
Mm-hmm.
The common point is that responsibility.
That's right.
From professor and teacher to the students, again from that students as a teacher to his student, they transfer this responsibility. For example, Muhammad Hassan Najafi, nowadays in Hoza we call it Sahib Jawahir.
Yes.
And Sheikh Ansari.
They were the teachers of
yes, the authors of Rasail
right.
and Makasib.
Yes, yes.
You know, Jawahir, Rasail and Makasib are the main
yes.
books,
yes.
textbooks in Hausa. These are his professors and
mm-hmm.
teachers. And then about his student, Sayyid Muhammad Kazim Yazdi, we know it as Sahib Urve,
yes.
Aghaziya Araghi, Mirza Naini.
Yes.
You know, this is a chain.
Yes.
They are the, I can say, the scholars that felt that responsibility
uh-huh. okay.
and tolerated all the difficulties in order to transfer that legacy of religion to us. And nowadays, we are using that legacy because
yes.
of their
okay.
hard working.
That's right.
And that.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
And Sheikh Rouhani, when we look at their personal, individual life, we can find them very much humble. The people who never were after reputation or something. For example, they say that Mirza Habibullah Rashti was among the best students of Sheikh Al-Ansari, but after the demise of the Sheikh, he never accepted the position of Marja'iyya or Za'ama, it's better to say custodianship and guardianship of the houses, and referred the people to Mirza Shirazi on that time. Let's talk a little bit about this aspect of their religious personal life, Sheikh.
Yes, about the, let's say, moral characteristics of these great scholar, there are many points that could be mentioned. One of these that is that his special moral characteristic made him a very pious kind of personality.
Yes.
Who was famous for his asceticism.
Yes.
He always remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seized any opportunities to recite the Holy Quran or prayers and supplications. And he was so careful and cautious that he could not easily answer the questions that he was asked without complete research. And he was so respectful toward Mirza Shirazi that he encouraged people to ask their question from him and to be his followers, muqallid, not muqallid of his own self.
Yes.
Muqallid of this Sayyid, Mirza Shirazi, I mean.
Yes.
Although he was the top student of Shaykh Al Ansari, but of course, as you rightly mentioned, after his demise, he did not take, let's say, Shari'i funds, I mean khums or wujuhat, yes. Okay. And never actually showed the slightest desire to become marja taqlid, even when his student insisted on his becoming a marja, but yes, he actually directed them towards Mirza Shirazi.
You mean he was the marja, but
he was already accepting the official
position of the custodianship of the Hawza on that time.
Yeah, of course. Yes. There were lots of these kind of scholars, even Shaykh Ibn Sayyid Ibn Tawus, rahmatullah alayhi, was also the same, yes, that he did not answer the fiqhi questions.
Yes. Uh-huh.
He also tried in his life not to interfere to any kind of fiqhi or jurisprudential, uh-huh, kind of, okay, issues.
That's right.
Because not becoming a marja'i taqlid. So the same case is with this great scholar.
That's right.
This is the moral kind of characteristics of many of the Shia scholars that could give us lots of lessons, mm-hmm, particularly the students of Hawza and the ulama of this modern time.
That's right.
Of the Shayu, yes.
And one of the interesting points about the life of Mirza Haybullah Rashti is compiling a kind of book typically known as Hashiya, or the marginal notes or explanations to great books of his masters, Shaykh Al-Ansari and Muhammad Hassan Al-Najafi. Badayu Al-Afkar, which is a Hashiya on Najat al-Abad of Sahib al-Jawahir, is one of them. So what was the need to write such explanations or marginal notes to great books of the teachers, Sheikh Fadai?
You know, in the system of Hausa, it was like that you go to the classes of a professor,
mm-hmm,
you use from him, but you never stop. You don't want to just imitate what he said. You don't want to just stay at that level.
Yes.
They always try to improve the borders of knowledge.
Yes.
You know, Hashiya or marginal notes,
yes,
has two aspects. The first aspect is to explain what the teacher said.
Okay.
Why? For example, we say that he was one of the top students of Sheikh Al-Ansari or, yes, Muhammad Hassan Najafi. So he could understand what his teacher, Sheikh Ansari, said better than us.
Uh-huh.
And even better than the other students at that time.
Okay.
First of all, he wanted, and not just he, Habibullah Rashti, as I told you, in the system of Hawza, it was like that, and even now it is like that. First of all, they want to explain what the professor said at the class.
Yes.
In order to stop and prevent misunderstanding from the lessons of the professor. The other aspect is to improve the border of knowledge. Maybe after reaching the level of ijtihad, especially after this level, maybe the student doesn't accept some of the ideas and theories of the teacher.
Uh-huh.
So they never like that to copy all the theories of, yes, the teacher.
Okay.
For example, in our Hawza, we have Ayatollah Jawadi as one of the great professors, the students of Allama Tabatabai.
Yes.
You know, people who don't know about these two great scholars think that so Ayatollah Jawadi is his students of Allama Tabatabai and he copied all the theories of Allama Tabatabai.
Yes.
But if you go to his lessons, for example, what I did,
yes,
when you go to his lessons for several years, you can understand that he has various different ideas.
Uh-huh.
So marginal notes, one of the aspects of marginal notes is